grace of God in Christ Jesus poured out in every gift of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, you confound the world's wisdom in giving your kingdom to the lowly and the pure in heart. Give us such a hunger and thirst for justice and perseverance in striving for peace that in our words and deeds the world may see the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent you before Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 15 responsibly. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamations to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs of Greeks, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God shows what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are. So that no one might boast in the presence of God. Word of God, word of life.
To whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. Alleluia. 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 The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated.
So for the children's
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me okay? Okay, good. We had problems first service. So for the children's sermon, I talked to the kids about doing a play. Now, I know you're used to Pastor Dale bringing to life Martin Luther, yes? Has Pastor Karen ever brought a biblical character to life yet? Yeah, I thought she did. I think she took some classes, yeah. I love to do biblical monologues and pretend. I like to pretend to be somebody else. So at the children's sermon last service, we talked about my costume. Now, Mary, I'm going to bring Mary to you today, and she would not wear this green stole. So it has to go. And I don't think Mary would wear a cross, at least not yet. So that has to go. And I don't know, some actors need little touchstones so they remember that they're not who they really are, that they're really their character. So I like to wear a ring on my thumb because I never wear rings on my thumb. But I think Mary might have rings on her thumbs. And because she's a first century Palestinian, she needs to cover her head, correct? All right. So see if I can not ruin the microphone this time. Thank you. I think it's from like Afghanistan with women's cooperatives to help them have a better life. So I know Mary usually wears blue, but light purple. Okay, so can you pretend that I'm a first century Palestinian woman, even the mother of God, and I need to be talking louder? Let me make sure I have my mic on. It's on. Is it coming off? Oh, well, that's all right. I'm just going to ignore that. All right. Are we good to go? All right. So then let us go back in time and have a little visit with Mary as she tells you her story.
What you just heard, the blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers. I was there. I was on the hill across from where my son was, my son Jesus. That was his first big sermon. And I think he preached way too long that the people stayed and they listened to him. And he had much to say. And what kind of surprised me is that it reminded me of what I said when the angel came to me those many years ago and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb," because God wanted me to have his son. And I said something about coming to save the poor and help the needy, and there my son was talking about that too. And when I watched him preach and heard him preach, I was taken back to the day he was born, and what a surprise that was. What a time that was. Have you ever ridden a donkey for a week at 9.5 months pregnant? Well, luckily we did have that donkey, because I would not have been able to walk that week. It took about a week to get to Bethlehem. And Joseph, bless his heart, he was a good man, he was a good provider, he was a great carpenter, but he did not make reservations. He assumed that we could stay with cousins. Well, we got there kind of late, you know, everybody was asleep, we didn't want to wake anybody up, so we went from inn to inn to inn trying to find something, but it seemed like all the country had come into Bethlehem for that census. And we finally found an inn. The innkeeper was there talking to us, and his wife was there, and she could tell that I was in distress. And she said, "You know, we don't have any more rooms, but we've got a barn. It's warm in there. There's animals. I'll get clean hay. Let's get you delivered of that baby." So we got to stay in the barn there, and it was nice and warm. And she wasn't expecting the angels and the shepherds, though, but she was a wonderful woman for us, and we stayed there for a couple of days because the census took a couple of days. And then finally people left, and we did find one of Joseph's cousins, and we stayed with them for a few days. Because a week after Jesus was born, he had to have a little snip. Now, we've been doing that for thousands of years. That's a sign of our covenant with God. We had to do that. But sometimes when I don't have anything else to do, and I think about it, and I think, why did we have to do that? Because he's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He is God. And then my mind just goes somewhere else. But we raised him in the law because that's what we had to do. And about 30 days after he was born, we went up to Jerusalem to make the sacrifice. My time of purification was done. We had a couple of doves that we had to sacrifice, and we met some people there. We met one man named Simeon, who took my son, and he started just praising God and saying that he has seen the salvation of not just not us Jews, but of the Gentiles too. And I confess, I didn't know he was coming for the Gentiles. But it makes sense. So he said something about a sword would crush my heart, that my son would bring divisions to the people. And in lots of things you just hear and you file them away and you think about them later. And then we met this woman named Anna, who'd been in the temple for like 84 years or something. She'd been there forever. And when she held my son, she started praising God. And she told everybody she met that the Messiah had indeed been born. Oh, I get goosebumps thinking about it sometimes. So then we went back to Bethlehem. We found our own little house, and we were there for a few years. It was about 3 years after his birth that we had visitors again, and we hadn't had visitors for a very long time, but this whole contingent of people came, the Magi. There were three main ones, and I have to tell you that your nativity scenes aren't quite right, because you've got three kings. Well, I'm here to tell you that one of those three kings was actually a woman. Back in that day, women got to do things. And these magi studied the stars, kind of like astrologers and the science ones. They were very smart people, and they were studying the stars, and they knew that this one star showed up, portended, or it said that was the king of the Jews, was being born. So they came from the east, modern-day Iran, Iraq, somewhere in there, and they came to us in Bethlehem. But they stopped at Herod's palace. Herod was, well, he was our king. He wasn't a Jew, but he was our king. He was not a very nice man. But these three magi, very smart, because he talked to them, and he said, you know, when you find the king of Jews, come back and tell me where he is so I can go worship him. Well, the Magi knew that was not going to happen. They came, they visited us, they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they said, but don't worry, we're not going to tell Herod where you are. So they left that night, and then that same night, Joseph had a dream. I don't know if you've noticed in the scriptures, but God talks to Joseph in dreams. And he had a dream that night, and it said, get out of town immediately. I need you to go to Egypt. Bad things are happening. So we left for Egypt, and it was a good thing we left, because shortly thereafter, Herod knew he'd been tricked by those magi, and he sent his soldiers to the area, and he killed all the children that were 3 years and younger, just ripped them from their mother's arms. I held Jesus a little tighter after that, but it was a horrible time. It was really only about 30 children, but how awful for their families and for that whole town to lose 30 little ones then. Sometimes I wonder what God does. But So we stayed in Egypt for a while. We were safe. Joseph did his carpentry and stuff. We found a little house there. We always found a little house with a little shop. And one day, Joseph had another dream, saying it's safe to go home now. So we went back, and it was like the first or second night, Joseph had another dream. Said, nope, you need to take a little detour, because Herod's son is now in charge. And if Herod the father was horrible, well, his son, that apple didn't fall far from the tree. He was not a very nice guy either. So we finally made it back home, Nazareth, Galilee area, and we had a good life. We found another house with a little shop. And we did what we had to do. We took Jesus to Passover every year. And I confess that I lost him 1 year. Still get a funny feeling in my tummy, because we all traveled together up to Jerusalem for Passover. We were like a contingent of, what do you call, like a wagon train kind of thing. And all the kids stayed together. They didn't ride with their parents. Who wants to ride with their parents? So they played, and they had a great time. And we got to Jerusalem. We did our Passover, and then we journeyed a day back, made camp, fixed dinner, and Jesus wasn't there. It's not funny. We couldn't find him anywhere. None of the kids had seen him. He was just not in the camp. So I slept fitfully. The next morning, Joseph and I, and we took a couple of his cousins, and we went another day's journey back to Jerusalem to find our son. So that's 2 days I haven't seen him. And then we searched for 3 more days. That's 5 days I hadn't seen my son. 12-year-old in the big city, your tummy would hurt too. We finally found him in the last place we looked. I don't know why we didn't look there first, but he was in the temple. And I said, how could you do this to us? I was really mad. And he's very calm. He's talking to the scribes and the rabbis and everything like he's an adult. And he says, well, didn't you know I'd be at my father's house? I was still angry, but I was so glad I found him. So we got back to the group, and we got home, and he never did that again. He was a good boy. He was obedient. He grew in years and in wisdom, and he worked with Joseph in the carpentry shop, and then it seemed like overnight he's 30 years old, and he got baptized, and he started preaching like what you heard just a while ago. And I don't think I'm alone as a mother when I look at my child, and intellectually I know he's an adult. But every once in a while I would look at him and I would remember that little baby in the hay and wonder what happened to him. So he continued to talk with the religious leaders. He preached love, and he healed people. I saw people who had been blind from birth get healed. I saw people who couldn't hear be able to hear. The lame walked. And he preached that people were more important than the law, and that love is the most important thing. And those religious leaders didn't like that too much. They really didn't like it. They liked the law. And for Jesus to say that people are more important than the law, well, they didn't like that. And they had him arrested one time. This Passover was arrested. They had a trial. And they flogged him. Flogging usually kills you. Not my Jesus. And then that wasn't enough, though. They decided they were going to crucify him, and he had to go up the hill and crucified between these two robbers. And, you know, there's really no good way to die, but crucifixion is not a good way to die. They nail your hands up, and then they put your feet on top of each other and put a nail through there, and you got a little step, so you can kind of push yourself up when you feel like you can't breathe. But eventually your lungs just fill with water, and they don't want to leave those bodies on the crosses all night, so they usually break the legs. But we had a prophecy that no bone of the Messiah would be broken, and so they put a sword in his side. And my son died. There was this closeted follower of him, Joseph of Arimathea, and he had this brand new tomb that hadn't been used before, and he got permission to take Jesus' body and put it in there, and I held him one last time, and I looked at his hands and remembering how perfect they were when he was born, those little fingers, and each hand had a hole in it, and his cute little feet, those cute little toes, hole in each one of his feet. And that beautiful head, that, you know, the newborn smell on the top of the baby's head. And you take a whiff of it, and you know everything is going to be all right. And I looked at his head with that crown of thorns and all that blood, and it was almost more than I could take. But we took care of him. We used that frankincense and myrrh and wrapped him up and put him in that tomb, and part of me wanted to stay in that tomb with them. But we put a stone in front of it so animals and other things wouldn't get in there. My firstborn was dead. So if the angel came to me again and said, if I could live it over, would you? We want you to have the Son of God. Would I say yes? Well, yeah, because that's really not the end of the story.
The end of the story is Jesus stayed in that tomb for 3 days, and then the stone was rolled away, and he walked across the earth for 40 more days, like, talking to people, healing people, and then he went to heaven. And one of these days, he's going to come back for all of us. I keep thinking he's going to call me anytime. He's just letting me walk and tell my story. So I keep telling this story. And I'm asking you to tell the story. Because there are people outside these doors who need to hear the story. And someone's only going to hear it from you. They're not going to hear it from you, but they're going to hear it from you. Somebody else is going to hear it from you. And somebody's going to hear it from each one of you. That's why you have to keep telling the story. Because one person is going to hear your story and believe. But that baby born in the barn is God's son, the Messiah for all the world. So I hear this is like the next to the last day of the first month of your new year. Did it go very fast? But a new year, new excitement, new, what do you call them, resolutions? Make a resolution to tell your story. You all have a God story. Roughly not as dramatic and as horrible as some of mine has been. Share your story. Tell the people. That's what we're called to do, is to tell the story. Blessings on your journey and blessings on you finding your person that needs to hear your story.